T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in
that. What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? Make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Rantaz McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker, as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier?
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Lots to talk about over the next 4 hours. Morning, Randy.
What's happening, man? Dude, your mood is like in the middle right now,
don't
man.
Tell him. Don't tell him.
It's in the middle, dog. I mean, you're feeling about something. I know, baby girl, she's been on one the last few nights, but, you know.
I'm trying to fake through it.
No, hey, man. Hey, we don't hold back nothing. We don't dry snitch. But, you know, I know my partner probably as good as anybody could know a partner, all right? And I know my main man is going through, but that's okay because you are in the scenario you in right now. And if you don't know, if we don't talk about it enough, my main man has a 6-month-old daughter, and she on one lately. And we, but as a parent, we've all been through it. We've been through it. Some of us know how to approach it. Obviously, your wife is one of those people, and you're not. This is kind of what it is. Your wife listens to the doctors and listens to people who tell her, she's got to learn. You got to let her sleep. You got to let her cry it out. But you are that dad, and there are moms like that. I'm in the middle of it a little bit, that you can't stand when they cry. So you go and you make a pallet. Remember, we had this whole discussion about what a pallet is.
Uh-huh.
You go in there, you make your pallet in her room.
No. That's not where I made the
pallet. No. I'm sorry. No. You should make the pallet where most of us make the pallet. But not Andy Bunker.
No.
Not Andy Bunker.
No, I made the
pallet. I need to know, why the hell are you sleeping in the closet?
Because it's the only place where I can't hear her cry. It's the only place in the house that, I don't know why, maybe the insulation.
Soundproof?
Maybe. It must have been the fine craftsmanship that my dad used when he built us that walk-in closet last year. It's the only place, and there's a dehumidifier in there that makes some noise. I don't know. But it's the only place that I can go to and not actually hear her crying. Because I would love to be like my wife. I would love to be. I would love to be able to just lay there and sleep soundly in the middle of the night while she's screaming her head off in the other room. But I can't. I hear it. I guess I'm a light sleeper. So, yeah, I slept in the closet last night. Yeah, I did that.
Okay.
Last time I slept in the closet was after that party we had. It was for different circumstances. That was more fun. That was a more fun reason to be sleeping in the closet. Last night was just me in there trying to not hear a baby cry in the middle of the night. So there you have it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's gotten into her over the last couple of days.
I'll tell you what got into her. She got you wrapped, bruh.
Yeah, could be.
She knows it. She knows this right now. And let me, she's 6 months old. What? She's sitting there in that bed. She wakes up like, kind of want some attention. And I know who to call. She can't talk. She can't say nothing yet. She thinks, she knows what she's thinking. She's like, I need some company. I know Boone won't come in here.
Damn, Boone's not going to do anything.
I know mom ain't coming.
Yeah. You know who's soft?
You know who the soft dude is?
Yeah, I'll start and he'll come in here immediately. Yeah. I thought maybe she was just really upset about Lloyd Pierce getting fired. Maybe that's what it was. She's just bummed out because she was a big Lloyd Pierce fan. Could that be?
Probably not, because it don't seem like the guys that he coached.
That's right. Because young people don't like him. That's exactly right, Randy. And that's sort of something that we stumbled upon at the end of the show yesterday in the article that was written in The Athletic. Chris Kirshner, Sam Amick, David Aldridge. Sam Amick was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday, too, by the way. I would highly encourage you to check out that interview. Some really interesting info about some of their reporting and some of what went into the decision that the Hawks made. Because, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about it yesterday. Nate McMillan had his first game last night as the official interim coach, and they won. They looked good, which was great. They looked good in the fourth quarter. They made a lot of baskets and scored a lot of points and got a win, which is exactly what you're looking for this team to do. But the story still kind of remains the fallout of the decision that was made earlier in the week. And, you know, yesterday a lot of what we were working on, Randy, was speculation and why this part of it or how much of it had to do with this and how much of it had to do with that. I still think the biggest portion of the pie, if you're splitting up the reasons for getting rid of Lee Pierce into a pie chart, is the losing. Like, is the 14-20 record that he had, is the expectations at the beginning of the season, maybe not putting in all the context of the injuries, but is the losing in the way that they lost. We also found out yesterday, pretty convincingly, that a lot of it had to do with the way that some of the players felt about him. Trae Young, Cam Reddish, John Collins, some of the guys in that locker room just weren't vibing with Coach Pierce. And that's a little bit more frustrating to me. Like, the losing, okay, fire a coach if you don't think he's a good coach. But if young guys can't get coached hard, what are we doing? Like, what direction is this thing actually headed in?
Well, I mean, we're in a new time. And you know, it's frustrating to people who were coached hard. And, you know, it's always, you know, what a coach says, we do, and all that. And it's a different day, and especially in the NBA because of how player driven that it is. And when you look at what's going on here in Atlanta, there's no secret that Lloyd and Trae didn't get along. There's no secret that they butted heads and all those things. It's widely reported. And the thing with Cam and all the, you got to coach, you can't coach everybody the same way. You know, I mean, that's just how it is. And now you're at a situation where if he wasn't losing, this wouldn't be a situation. But because you're not winning either, this situation is going to come up. And the player said they wanted, obviously, it comes out, they wanted needed a new voice and those things. Sometimes, Andy, I'll be honest with you, it's needed. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is. It really is. I think Nate McMillan is a better coach than Lloyd Pierce.
I agree with that.
I think Nate McMillan is the same way as Lloyd. He ain't gonna sugarcoat it. He gonna tell you what it is. And I think a lot of it, some people, I've read some stuff, you know, about him not necessarily throwing him up under the bus publicly, but not protecting them publicly. And that's my thing about it, is like, why is it so offensive to speak the truth about a performance? If you ain't good, just say you ain't good. How can I sugarcoat some of the stuff that went along in some of these four quarters? Now, Lloyd had a hand in it too, with some of his adjustments and some of the things that he did. But the players also had that. And it's getting away from we, you know, because when I was in high school, there was a T-shirt we saw, was where big me, it was big team, little me. Mm-hmm. It's not the case anymore. It's big me, big team. All right, because if I get mine and we play bad, it's okay. But if we lose and I play bad, whatever, you know, just so we don't have enough young players nowadays. I'm just speaking strictly for the Hawks that take onus on the fact that y'all are the reason y'all coach is fired. Even y'all new coach said we are the reason that he was fired. Now, he had some say in it, and he had some hand in it, but okay, he's gone. Okay, fine, he's gone. What you gonna do now?
Right, that's right.
Nate ain't no sugarcoater.
No, he's not. I mean, Nate is sort of famously a hard ass when it comes to the way that he coaches, and has rubbed some of the players that he's coached the wrong way in the past because of that, because of similar situations like we're talking about here. Not everybody likes to be coached that way. I guess maybe because his track record is a little bit longer than Lloyd Pierce's is, then he's got the cachet to coach you that way. I mean, look, if they win basketball games,
that's all that matters.
You can probably coach guys pretty much any way that you want. If you're getting the results, and in games that Nate McMillan has coached, the Hawks are 3-1. So, you know,
which I like. I like that.
Me too. I hope they keep doing that. I hope they keep winning basketball games with Nate McMillan as the coach. They certainly looked more, comfortable and confident in the fourth quarter last night than they have in other fourth quarters this year. Now, it helps to start the fourth quarter with a second unit that's anchored by Bogdan Bogdanovic instead of a second unit that's anchored by Skylar Mays. And no offense to Skylar Mays, but he was never supposed to be a part of the equation this year. Bogdan Bogdanovic was supposed to be, and they actually looked like a group of NBA basketball players to start the fourth quarter last night, which helps. And then the starters were able to come back in the game, and Trae Young had a really good fourth quarter. They went off and they won.
He's excellent in the fourth quarter.
I do just wonder about that what's next question, though, because if that's a part of how the Lloyd Pierce decision was made, which we understand that it was, And if the NBA and the relationship with the star player is what it is right now, which is player empowerment, players get a say in the way things go, players get to have their input heard on decisions, then what is next? If they go out and have a coaching search at the end of this season, is Trae Young involved in that?
Yes, he's your best player.
Okay.
Yes, Trae Young will be involved. I'm not saying Trae will get the final say, but yes,
yeah, I'm
they
not
will
saying he's
Trae.
Conducting the
he's
interviews.
He's a face of the franchise. Okay. So yes, they will. He's a face of the franchise. So yes, they will consult him and all those things. The biggest thing with the Hawks is right now because what they're doing, they're putting the team around Trae. They're putting parts around Trae to see if he, because right now he's the alpha dog there. So they have to put players around him in order for his team to take off, because if he doesn't play well, they don't win. That just is what it is. Just like you said, I'm sitting there watching this fourth quarter. The biggest adjustment that he did was he put Rondo in. Just have somebody run the offense. Mm-hmm. Have somebody get them in their sets. You know, things like that. But then, you know, they weren't comfortable. And don't forget, Miami played like crap last night. But you know what I always say, that's a them problem.
It is. It's a them problem. They couldn't make shots. That's their fault.
That's their fault. And then you were able to keep a cushion or stay close with Trae resting. Mm-hmm. And then when Trae came in the fourth quarter, he went off. He looked like a superstar. He went off the way he was shooting the basketball, the way he was attacking that 2-3 zone that Miami wanted to go. He was attacking it and doing those things, and they won the basketball game. But my thing is that you got what you wanted. Now it's time to go. I called him soft yesterday. I just think as a whole, there's a soft mentality behind things. And if you can't be coached hard, that's one thing. I think that's soft. But at the same time, if the coach – doesn't have the cachet to coach you hard, if you look at it that way, because I think that's what it looked like, man. Who are you?
Okay, yeah, and I understand that, but also, who are you?
What the hell have you accomplished?
That was the biggest issue that I had with the article that was written yesterday, not with the article itself, but with the information that we got from the article, was the anonymous source that said one of the issues that Lloyd Pierce had was that he didn't know how to manage egos.
What right do y'all have to have an ego?
Egos? That's what
we won 20 games last year. Is what I'm saying? Look, we all got one. All right, let's just call it. We all have one. But at the same time, it's like there's levels to this, bruh.
Yeah.
There's levels to this.
Lloyd Pierce is equally accomplished as an NBA coach as all of these guys are as NBA basketball players.
What y'all done?
None of them have done anything.
Nothing.
So the idea that someone would need to treat you with, I don't even know what, like a respect, no. Obviously. Everyone should be treated with respect. And no one ever 100%. Said anything about anybody treating anybody with disrespect. But kid gloves or feeling like you're being picked on because you're being coached hard, like, that's the thing that rubs me the wrong way is, okay, so we understand that we're moving in a different direction. There's going to be someone in here in charge, whether it's Nate McMillan. And I kind of get the sense it's not going to be Nate McMillan next year.
I do too.
So we've got players that don't like to be coached that way. So is that how they go about their coaching search? All right, who can come in here and treat these guys the way that they want to be treated?
I don't know.
That's not my – I want a coach who can come in here and coach basketball however it's going to take to win games. Like, you got to be able to deal with getting coached hard sometimes, because here's the deal. You're not that good.
But they're not good.
They're not good enough to get coached hard.
And that's the thing about it is how does Nate go – because the one thing about Nate old school, and the one thing about old school, it's hard to change him. He has a method.
He's not going to change
him. The coach is all about, can they listen – I'm excited to see what Nate does with this team.
Me too.
I am. I'm excited to see what it is, because I think this team can be good. But the thing about this managing ego, you know who has to manage egos? Steve Nash.
Yeah,
he manages ego.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Steve Nash.
Steve
that's
Nash.
Right.
Frank
that's
Vogel right. manages egos.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody
that's right.
No damn Tyronn egos Lue. On the Hawk.
Tyronn Lue's managing egos.
Come on, man.
Those guys have won stuff.
Come on, man.
Won anything. Managing egos. That's like, look, I'm all for the player empowerment movement, but this is the flip side of it, is everybody thinks they're LeBron.
Exactly.
Like, LeBron has created an atmosphere where guys can sort of dictate their terms, which is good. Players should be able to dictate their terms, but not everybody's LeBron. You treat everybody like they're LeBron, can be a slippery slope. We'll come back. We'll get into what's trending. Hawks did win last night, which is really good. Nate McMillan coached as well. We'll hear Nate McMillan talking about being in a kung fu movie.
We talk about being a fist. And, you know, the tighter the fist.
Hey, whatever works. We'll hear that full quote coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh, my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Get early bird savings now. Get over $3,000 in cash initiatives on heating and cooling systems from Reliable Heating and Air.
Yeah, we talked about, you know, being clear what we're doing out there, what we need to do on both ends of the floor, and being connected. You know, we talk about being a fist, and, you know, the tighter the fist, the easier it is to knock someone out.
There you go. Nate McMillan's mentality as the new, or at least interim, head coach of the Atlanta Hawks last night, his first game in that role. Now, he did coach three games before.
Right.
So how does that work? Does he get credit for those? Or because everyone kept saying was his first game last night and he's 1-0 as the Hawks head coach. But really, he's 3-1.
Well, I mean, however you want to do it. You know, I don't do stuff by the book. So
yeah, I guess it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it really
doesn't
matter.
What does matter is that the Hawks won 94-80 last night. No player had a particularly great game, which is one of the things that we've been talking about for a couple weeks, is, or like the whole season, honestly, is it would be nice to see the Hawks win a game where just kind of everybody plays a role in it. Right. You don't have to have one guy shoot 10 threes, Trey go for 40 and 15 or something like that. This is the first game all season the Hawks won where Trey scored less than 20 points.
Yeah, I mean, it was an overall ugly game anyway.
It was a very ugly game.
It was a very ugly game anyways, but it don't matter as long as you got the win and one more point than the other team. I thought late in the game, Trey was great. I thought he was phenomenal in that fourth quarter and everything. And he did his thing, and that's what good players do. When you're the best player on the team, that's the expectation, is that, you know, especially when you're a scorer, you go score. And I thought he did a great job in there. And I thought defensively they were fine. I thought Miami shot the ball like crap. But
yeah, you watch a lot of Miami Heat basketball.
Yes, I do.
What the hell was going on? Like,
I mean,
they looked like they were hungover.
It was an ugly game. Bam is your max player. Without Jimmy, he has to play better, and he did not play well last night. And so but I'm all about the Hawks giving them credit for the win, and that's what I want to see. I want to see, you got the new voice, you got all this stuff, and you know, people talk about coddling Trey and all. It ain't about coddling. It's just a simple fact of you don't have to yell it to get your point across. But it's okay if somebody ain't doing something they need to do to correct them and you not take it personal. And that's the thing about it. You can't take criticism that if you look deep down that you can sit up there and say, yeah, I did, and get mad about it because it gets out. You know what I mean? Like that. And that just baffles me about this whole situation. But
well, that's the other thing about like the constant chip on your shoulder mentality as well. Like not everything is a slight. Like not everything has to be all fuel to the fire. They're doubting me today. Like, not everything is that. Sometimes people are just trying to help you.
Yeah.
And sometimes trying to help you is telling you what you're not doing well. I guess
okay.
They didn't do it in a friendly way. I'm not really sure.
But it's okay, man. I mean, but like I said, some people's I'm trying to think back. Not a lot of times. I mean, even when I was playing, you know, I didn't need my shoulder. It's okay, Randy. I didn't need that. But players need that now. They need that for some reason. And they need it before even proving themselves to be great.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the biggest thing about it. Everybody wants to be great. I get it. And it's how much work are you willing to put in to be great? All that. But sometimes people are going to tell you what you don't want to hear. It's all about how you adjust off of doing that. Do you take it? Do you take it and sulk, or do you take it and get better from it? And so we'll see how this team goes, man. Like I said, I'm excited to see where this team goes now. New voice, all this good stuff. I was happy to see Bogey back last night. He's going to continue to get better and better as he gets more and more comfortable in shape and all those things. And we'll just have to sit back and wait wait for the results.
Trey Young says there's one specific focus that this team has now.
I mean, obviously, it's a tough situation. I mean, but for me, my main focus and is on this team and I can help this team move forward and helping us get to the playoffs.
Yeah, and hopefully they can. One more game before All-Star break against Orlando. They can beat Orlando.
Yeah,
and
Orlando's awful.
And then they got some time off to, if Nate McMillan wants to install a couple different things, change a philosophy or two, they'll have a little bit of time to try to do that. There are no Hawks in any way, shape, or form associated with the All-Star game. So they're all going to get a good, solid rest. Nobody's in the skills competition. Nobody's dunking at halftime. Nobody's in the three-point shootout. Nobody's coaching. Nobody's selling popcorn. I know Dominique Wilkins, Josh Smith.
Clint Capela played in the fourth quarter last night, too.
He did. John Collins didn't.
I was curious. Why wasn't John in there? And a lot of fourth quarter John ain't in it. He the one over there leading the freezing dance.
Yeah, he's good at the Trey freezing dance.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah.
He's getting a lot of practice at that. Well, he's just not very good at defense. And I respect Lloyd Pierce for making that, sorry, Nate McMillan for making that decision last night. But yeah, nobody from the team involved in the All-Star game. There's only going to be three players in the dunk contest and six guys in the three-point shootout. So All-Star game coming up this weekend. Get excited.
Woo!
Let's hear from Freddie Freeman.
The two hole with the pitcher hitting, the opportunities for RBI situations aren't as great, but I do realize that hitting in the two hole over 162 games, you're going to get way more plate appearances than you would in the three hole. So I think it's going to be the same thing that we're going to have to figure out that we had with Josh. You know, obviously I think I'm going to hit third probably at the beginning and figure it out, but we can figure that out in spring training too. So that's up to Snit. We'll find out Friday. That's when my first game is.
It's good to hear from Freddie. Sounds like he's in good spirits. He will be playing in the spring training game on Friday. He got down there yesterday. We'll hear more from Freddie later in the show as well. Had a very interesting quote about a challenge that Chipper Jones made to him. So we'll get to that. But yeah, I mean, he's right about the fact that over the course of 162 games, he'll probably bat second sometimes, and he'll probably bat third other times, and they'll figure out what's the right place for him to be for the majority of the season. You can kind of play it by ear at that point. But if it is about the pitcher batting ninth, just bat the pitcher eighth. Let one of your guys who's actually a professional baseball player at hitting bat ninth, and then you could bat Freddie second if you wanted to. Like, there's ways to get around it is what I'm saying.
I mean, there's ways to get around everything, man. I mean, I've always been under the impression ever since I was a legit that three-hole guy is the dude. You know, that's your guy, you know. And we saw the results when Freddie batted second. You know, he was damn AP. And so, I mean, they brought back Ozuna. I think it's all about who's going to be in the four-hole if Freddie's going to be in the two-hole. That's where it has to be. I think that's the ultimate thing. Who's going to bat for it? It ain't about where the pitcher's batting eighth or whatever. Whoever, they need a consistent cleanup hitter in order for Freddie to be in the two-hole throughout the season, period.
Yeah, and if you do bat Freddie third, then it solves that problem a lot easier. Then you just have Ozuna bat cleanup, and you have one of the best cleanup hitters in baseball, and then you have one of the best three-hole hitters in baseball, the best leadoff hitters in baseball, and then you let Ozzie or Dansby, probably Ozzie, bat second. And that's a really nice way to start the game every
Hell
single
yeah.
day. It's a really good, solid starting first four of your lineup. They did have a game yesterday as well, and Ender Inciarte was batting leadoff. He went 2-for-3. He's been on base two out of three times in
I'm
both
excited.
Games that he's played in.
I'm excited about Ender because it annoys the hell out of you.
Yeah, Ender's just down there getting his work in. The real, I don't know, if anything's a big story from the first couple days of spring training, Ian Anderson started yesterday and looked good. So got a chance to see him get out there, throw two innings, didn't give up any hits, struck a couple guys out, walked a guy. So nice to see the young guy out there get his first chance at spring training yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about it is his growth. I mean, he is one of the biggest, you know.
Bless me.
He's one of the biggest, like, what do you call it, enigma or something like that this season. Is he ready to roll?
The question mark.
Is he ready to roll?
Yeah.
That's a big thing. Like, this team cannot afford for Ian Anderson to hop on the Wangster wagon. Period. They can't afford him to be teetered. They can't afford. Now, is he going to have some growing pains? Of course he's still a young player. But I'm talking about, like, getting up out of here, removing him out of the lineup. They can't afford that issue.
Georgia Tech got a win last night as well at home against Duke. It went to overtime, and it probably didn't need to. But Georgia Tech got the win. That's what matters. Looks like they're headed to the NCAA tournament. Here's Josh Pastner after the game.
We've learned how to win. We've learned how to win by getting stops, not having long scoring droughts, but and then being able to execute game actions.
They've learned how to win close games. It looked a little hawkish down the stretch.
A little bit.
As it looked like they had that thing in hand and then kind of let it get and obviously went to overtime. Really weird possession at the end with a pretty bad shot taken with 5 seconds left. But ultimately, they get into overtime. They get the win. Moses Wright just
he was
phenomenal
man.
This season.
He was a man last night.
He should probably be the ACC player of the year.
I don't see why he's not. I mean, he was a grown man last night. And, you know, congratulations to Coach Pastner and Georgia Tech basketball. It was 14 tries the last 14 years or whatever that they haven't beaten Duke. Yeah, we know Duke's down, but that's a them problem. They don't take away from the accomplishment at Georgia Tech. And I think that win right there solidified their spot in the NCAA tournament. Why? And, you know, he's been backing his team all season, man, and they were able to get a win. Like you said, it was ugly down the stretch. But, hell, as long as they got one more point than Duke, that it doesn't matter. And anytime anybody beat Duke, I like it. It don't matter who it is.
Anytime
anybody beats Duke, I don't care who it is, I like it.
Coach K just looks miserable.
He does.
And, I mean, I get it. His team's not good. So I understand. He looks miserable even when they are good. But, like, every once in a while when he'd remove the mask from his face, he always has a little kind of, he's got a kind of little rodent scowl face going on anyway.
That ain't nothing new.
He just looked furious the whole time.
Well, when you use the band on top all the time, man, and you start looking like this, of course.
He's got a tiny mouth. I don't know how he eats sandwiches.
What the hell does that mean? Dude, he got a tiny mouth.
Just a little tiny mouth. Like when he yells, it's just hardly even big. It's like he can only eat like one pea at a time. Tiny mouth.
Why
Coach
are you
K.
checking out men's mouths, Andy?
I just see stuff. My eyes see what they see. We'll come back. We'll get the big
men's calves.
Yeah, calves, everything. My eyes will literally see anything. We'll come back and get to a big deal, small deal, no deal coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chicago. 20 minutes away from the NFL No Huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. We'll get back into some of what Brian Baldinger said to us yesterday, Randy. We asked him about Penny Sewell, the tackle from Oregon, who he did a Baldy breakdown on yesterday. Wasn't over the moon. I mean, he was positive, but he wasn't like, yes, you have to take him. You have to take him at number four. He will change your franchise. He was pretty adamant about Kyle Pitts, though, so we'll get to that as well. Daniel Jeremiah going to join us today in the noon hour. Talk some draft with Daniel Jeremiah as we, you know, continue to get closer and closer. Every single day is one day closer to the NFL draft. We will have discussed every possible thing about the Falcons draft before we get there. And Daniel Jeremiah is a draft guru. We can go way deeper than just the number four pick with him. We can get all the way through deeper into the draft and find out some other players that he's got his eyes on.
Yeah, I mean, DJ's been doing it a long time, man. DJ learned up in that Baltimore, you know, that front office Baltimore with Isaiah and all those things, always, you know, respect his opinion and everything. And, you know, I mean, it's a situation, it's going to be tricky for. I mean, because of the fact that if you stayed there, then it's all about, you know, it's all about, you know, is it the best player available? Because if you're at four, it's hard to say that Kyle Pitts isn't the best player available.
Yeah, right.
Or is it something else? So, I mean, yeah, I'll be interested to see what DJ talks about. Not just the first round, like you said, rushing maybe later in the in third or something
safeties.
Like that. Or safety or somebody like that.
Yeah.
I'm curious who's a better – and I want to get his opinion on it because you're hearing mixed reviews. Better corner, Stokes or Tyson Campbell?
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm curious of who that is.
That's a great question. It also leads us to something that Brian wants to talk about as far as the Georgia defensive backfield goes. So let's get to Brian in Big Deal, Small Deal, No Deal.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gebhardt on the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Brought to you by Solomon Brothers Jewelers in Buckhead or Alpharetta, online at SolomonBrothers.com or on Instagram at Solomon Brothers. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. So we had Kirby Smart pop up out of nowhere yesterday, do a little press conference, which is nice, get some UGA sound and some fun comments. One of the things, obviously the biggest question heading into next year for Georgia is going to be the defensive backs, the cornerbacks, and the depth there. Big deal, small deal, no deal. Kirby saying this about cornerbacks.
Yeah, the cornerback position is really completely open. So to name two guys is probably not the smartest. I mean, we got a lot of guys that are going to be working at cornerback. Every guy on our team is a potential quarterback and cornerback right now because we're in search of finding guys that can play that position at a high level in a really tough. And you look across the SEC, the ability to throw the ball has gotten better and better and better, and those guys get exposed. You know, we're one of the conferences that plays more man-to-man probably than anybody else. So you got to have guys out there that can function.
It's a big deal because he's right, but it's a no deal because we knew this. I knew that they need corners, and they ain't got no starter corners. You got a bunch of names over there, but not a lot of experience. But it's a big deal because of the fact is that the first week of the season, you're playing Clemson.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to be tested right off the bat with what they want to do throwing the football. I mean, the quote that people are making, having some fun with, is the idea that everyone on the team could potentially be a cornerback, which is just a funny thing to say in addressing the need that you have. But, yeah, it's the biggest question on the team. it's a bigger deal in 2021 than it would have been in 2011 when you're in the SEC and people just throw the football like crazy now. And all their guys left. So they're going to have to figure it out. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't a really good corner from Clemson just enter the transfer portal?
Yeah.
Well, maybe see if you can hit him up on Instagram or something like that. Direct message him or something. Yeah, or maybe you have his phone number from the recruiting cycle. I don't know. But that seems like still a reasonable option to me. Like, get out there and get in the transfer portal if you want a veteran.
You're talented, but you're young. I think that's the thing about it. But young.
Well,
get
somebody who's talented and not young.
Exactly. So, they got to figure it out. Figure it out, Kirby.
Yeah, and I think there's a little wait-and-see mode with the Clemson cornerback because he had some disciplinary issues. People don't know exactly what it was. Dabo sat him down a few games. He is a first-team All-ACC guy, though. So
yeah, like, obviously very good. You don't know what he's in trouble for, so you can't – okay.
Exactly. I think people are waiting to kind of see the information that – I mean, but there's certainly a phone call, I'm sure, that's going to be had there. Mm-hmm. Big deal, small deal, no deal. I found this very interesting. Kentucky Senate unanimously passing a bill – allowing high school seniors to stay for another year of school and play sports if they want to.
This is a big deal. This is big because I know you remember last year during when all this first started, Andy, I'm talking about the pandemic, we were all feeling so bad for the seniors and all this thing and everything, and now they get an opportunity to run it back. It's interesting, I can tell you that, but I think you made a great point in our pre-show call when Brian told us about this. Well, what if you don't want – I mean – It's a tricky situation because what if you don't want them to come back?
Right, know? That's part of it.
Yeah, what,
it's kind of like we talked about with college football, giving an extra year of eligibility. It's like, nah, we were really planning on you graduating, though. So you might need to – yeah, I mean, that it's tough because there are definitely some people who are going to benefit from this, right? Yeah. Like you go back – you're seeing a lot of people in a lot of different sports, not just football, but in a lot of different sports – you grew, you got better, you finally got an opportunity to be a starter, whatever it is, and you get to show out a little bit, and you get a scholarship because of it. Like, you get a free college education because of what you were able to demonstrate your senior year of high school. So I understand a lot of kids maybe getting an opportunity. The tricky part is for kids that aren't in that situation. Like, I don't know, I would have been really sad if I didn't get to play varsity sports my senior year. But I wouldn't have gone back to do it, you know?
That's what I'm saying.
I've been like, all right, I'm just going to go to college now.
I'm ready to get the hell out of here. But what about – but it could benefit a kid who, like myself, it didn't have a senior year and went to Georgia. So,
right,
it has both sides to it.
It is really interesting, though, like to make the choice to do one more year of high school. Not because grades. Like, what if you're done with school?
Yeah.
You just take a couple – shop in like Spanish
crazy,
four or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's but it's good. Hopefully, ultimately, it leads to more kids getting college scholarships, and I imagine that's the goal. So hopefully, it works out.
And this happens more than people realize. This happened with people that I played sports with growing up. Like in middle school, it's just like, oh, you stayed in sixth grade, huh, for this year? And then coaches ask. I've seen this happen before, so it happens a lot more than people realize.
Would you do that? Like, would you do that with your kid? Where the coach is like, hey, if you hold him back in seventh grade again, by the time he's a senior, we got a spot for him. Like, no way in hell would I do that.
But some parents do. It's crazy. Yeah. I know. It's wild.
Like, now we're just going to send him to eighth grade now. Like,
yeah.
Because he is done with seventh grade.
Big deal, small deal, no deal. J.J. Watt getting clearance from Marshall Goldberg's daughter to wear the retired number 99 for the Arizona Cardinals this season.
Oh, that's a big deal, man. Anytime a number comes off the Raptor, well, it actually stays up there. And you talk to the family and they allow you to wear that number. I think it's always a big deal, but it just certain cachets come with that. Yeah, you got to be a certain player to bring to wear a retired number.
Yep,
because the organization's not going to give it to you. It's a known fact that the people whose jersey retires always ask if they can wear that jersey. So
yeah,
big deal.
And it's a big deal because the family made the gesture as well. Like, J.J. didn't ask. Like, they reached out and said, yeah, this would be cool for you to do now that you're an Arizona Cardinal. It's like when Jerry Rice went to the Seahawks, Steve Largent just called him and said, hey, I would be honored if you wore number 80. You're number 80. Like, I wore it too, but you're number 80.
Right.
It happens with guys in that sort of stature. Yeah, it is a big deal. It's cool. Also, the details of J.J. Watt's contract just came out.
Right.
It's a lot of money. Getting a lot of money over the next couple of years.
Well, it really ain't worth it. Man, shut up.
$23 million guaranteed. It's pretty good. We'll come back, speaking of J.J. Watt, and get to an NFL no huddle, some of what Brian Baldinger told us yesterday. Some more cuts. Every day, more good players get cut from NFL teams. We'll tell you who those guys are today. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.